everyone. Welcome to Reach Higher Riverside, where we share all Reach Higher stories happening in the greatest county in the nation. My name is Priscilla Grijalva, and I work at the best high school in the world. To honor a Riverside legend. In episode 1, we talked about my pathway to becoming a school counselor. On May 20th, one of my mentors passed away, Sue Boyd, dubbed Nora Vista High School, the best high school in the world. And she always pushed me and many others to be our very best. She was a positive force in our lives, and she will be truly missed. And I know she is proud of all the work we will continue at the best high school in the world. It's in times like these that we're reminded to always appreciate those people in our lives. In this episode, we open up with audio from 99.1 KGDI Radio, Riverside College Signing Day. Congratulations to the senior from North High School in Riverside Unified School District. She won $500 from Sally Mae. You can hear the excitement from her mom in the background. So we hope you guys enjoy that audio. We also have interviews with CASC, ASCA, and WACAC. In closing, you will hear audio from an interview one of our seniors did with When We All Vote. We hope you enjoyed this episode about being a member of our professional organizations. Thank you to Jill Cook, Josh Godinez, Ashley Kruger, and Phil Moreno. Also, congratulations to Richard Wong, ASCA Executive Director, on his 20 years of service and his well-earned retirement. I will miss our annual photos at the ASCA conferences, and I'm so proud of all the work you have done for school counselors. Thank you, Richard.
And we are on Zoom, KGD Isolation, and we got a bunch of seniors in studio with us this morning, in Zoom with us this morning.
Yes, it's all about you. We're doing this really awesome thing. We've been so, so lucky. Sally Mae is the nation's saving, planning, and paying for an education company. They offer products that promote responsible personal finance, including private education loans and college financial planning tools, and they have given us $500. Give to someone in Zoom. It is a scholarship. You can use it towards your education.
Yes.
Woo! Are we ready?
I'm ready to do this. Are we ready to do the drawing?
Yes, okay. I'm spinning the drum here.
Everybody who's in the room right now, it should be in this right now. This little bottle cart.
All right. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, we got one. And the winner of a $500 scholarship courtesy of Sally Mae is Kaylin Ayers of North High School! Woo! JW North High School! What?
Woo! This is so awesome!
We're gonna have her face up on here. Where's the girl at?
Where's she at?
I'm putting her on right now.
Let's find her.
Come on, George.
Yay!
She won $500!
Yay!
Oh my goodness.
Where's she at? That's her, right?
That's a mama.
Mama. No,
yay, she's right there. You see her?
Right here.
Right. Hi, everyone. I'm with the California Association of School Counselors. I will let them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Ashley Kruger, and I am the president of CASC for this year, and I also serve as an elementary school counselor at E. Hale Curran in Murrieta Valley Unified School District.
Hi, and I'm Josh Godinez. I'm a current high school counselor at Centennial High School in Corona, California, and I'm also the CASC president-elect for the 2021 school year.
And what do you guys do with your role with CASC?
So as president, it's kind of twofold. So the first part of my role is really working directly with the board members. And so currently we have several board members that are part of CASC. And my work is really to just oversee what they are doing and support them however I can. And making sure that they're developing their own leadership capacity. That's been a really big focus for this year because we have so many talented people on the board and we have so many talented school counselors out there in general. We really want to make sure that we are growing our organization and building leadership capacity so that we can continue to grow and continue to advance CASC. I also collaborate with the executive board. And so that consists of our executive director, our president-elect, our immediate past president, our secretary, and our treasurer. And am I forgetting anyone? I won't leave anyone off. But we meet every so often and we talk about statewide and local advocacy efforts and legislative positions. That's a really big part that, you know, a lot of our members don't see us doing, but we really are working hard behind the scenes to make sure that there's legislation to protect school counseling, but also to advocate for students and the profession itself. And then another big part of what we've done this year on the board is we've really examined our practices as far as the structure of our board. So many of our members know through the newsletters and information we've sent out that we are moving towards a policy governance structure, which is essentially is just a structural change. And I'll be talking about that a little bit more later and how that's going to impact members and impact school counselors in the profession. So that's kind of the first part is working with the board. And then the second part of presidency is also just making sure that I'm connecting with CASC members and school counselors in general throughout California to make sure that they feel supported in their roles. So we do that by hosting webinars. We've been hosting a lot of happy hours, virtual happy hours lately, and posting on Facebook and Instagram and just trying to get feedback so that we can make sure that we're serving our members and that we are listening to what the needs are of school counselors in California.
Wow, that's a long list. You guys do a lot of great work. I've joined some of your Zoom meetings and your happy hours, and I'm really grateful for all that you guys do for the counselors and even the soon-to-be school counselors that are currently in grad school. It's good that they get all that information right now.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, I would add to it, you know, people don't know, but CASC is comprised of full-time school counselors. The board are all working school counselors, school counseling educators, school counseling district officials. So it's not a giant hired staff. We have an executive director, and we have an events manager, and we have a business manager. And those are the only people that are part of the CASC organization that are paid employees, but everybody else is a volunteer, you know, because we believe in the advancement of our careers in the sense that, you know, we need to create a professional identity so that people understand the impact and the scope of what school counselors do and how we truly affect the lives of students across California. You know, and to add on, ditto to everything that Ashley said, and my primary focus is working with the regional reps right now. So all of the regional newsletters that get pushed out with all of the information, you know, as far as the articles, best practices, highlighting school counselors that are doing amazing things in each of the regions, job opportunities. And that's one of the biggest benefits, I think, especially for graduate students coming in, is becoming a CASC member. You get your regional newsletter, you get the CASC connection. These will keep you up to date on your practices. In addition, the regional newsletters have current job openings in your area so that you can use that as a tool to go apply for jobs. Beyond that, I also coordinate the Policy Legislative Action Committee, and that's really where we take a look at the bills that are coming down through Sacramento that might impact school counseling across the state and decide, are we going to take a watch position, a support position, or are we, what's the other one called, Ashley? I'm blanking on it. It's watch, support, and yeah. Well,
not support.
Not support. We'll just call it not support for right now. Yeah, that's okay. It's Friday. We're folks, if you don't know, we're recording this on a Friday after work and it's been a long week. So we'll go with not support. you know, that it takes a lot of time, you know, and we have to be careful and calculated to protect our profession so that, you know, we are constantly working to show the value of school counselors, promoting the idea that with more school counselors in schools, students are better served, which we know they are. The research shows that, you know, so it's a lot of good work, but it's a lot of valuable work, you know, on behalf of students across California.
Yeah, it's a lot of hard work, and you guys do great work across the state. Can you talk about other things that our listeners might not know that you do, like with ACLU, COVID-19 resources, any other advocacy tools?
Yes, yeah, so our greatest partners right now are the ACLU. You know, we've teamed up to do a lot of amazing things, and the Public Advocates Group has jumped on board with us, and we've formed quite an alliance on behalf of California students. And Ashley, you want to chip in a little bit here with the COVID-19 website? I don't want to steal your thunder on that one.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, we came together as a state and then actually reached out to some other states who were interested in putting together some resources and tools for school counselors really around the nation about how to support students during COVID-19. And what we were finding was that there were tons of resources out there from great organizations, but a lot of them were kind of just floating around. And so we really wanted to work as a team cohesively to make sure there was one spot that people could find resources in many different arenas. And so we currently do have a website that CASC has created in partnership with the Wisconsin Association of School Counselors and with the American School Counseling Association as well. And, you know, we really encourage all of our school counselors and all educators to use it. So it's COVID-19. K12counseling.org. And on there, we have resources for stakeholders. We have resources for school counselors. Right now for Mental Health Week, we do have a whole plethora of lessons and workshops that school counselors can use to send to parents, to send to teachers, and to utilize with their students. So we really don't want school counselors to have to be recreating the wheel at this time. We all have so much going on. So I just want to make sure that we have a special thank you to Lesia Weglars, who was the head of the task force, and then Nicole LeFranco, who is actually our events manager for CASC, and she worked tirelessly to get all of the information up on the website. But we also had a task force of over 50 people from around the nation who worked to get this done.
And that's the beauty of it, if I may, that, you know, this really wasn't a CASC-led effort in the sense that we were getting calls in, you know, with people saying, I need an organized place to go, and there was nothing there. And it really was a grassroots effort of counselors outside of CASC saying, what can we do to come together in order to make something that people can use, you know, as a grab and go? Because everybody had varying levels of understanding and competency when it came to the virtual platform. And that became, you know, front and center when we started these conversations. And, you know, CASC was happy to say, you know, we are here to help organize, you know, and do our part in supporting this. But truly, it was a collaborative effort of people all over the state of California and all over the state of Wisconsin to get this done. One thing that we realized really fast was with people's varying levels of competency, you know, you had to be able to meet everybody's needs. So if you really don't know what you're doing, you should be able to log on, grab a lesson, load it onto your Google Classroom, and just run with it. You know, you shouldn't have to figure out Google Docs, Google Forms, you know, Google Sheets, and Google Classroom, and Zoom, and all of these other platforms. So that's what we're trying to do, was let's give you some grab and go resources so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can pick them up and use them so that your one focus is just figuring out maybe how to use your Google Classroom to get these resources on it. Or your one focus is figuring out how to do a Zoom meeting, you know, or Microsoft Teams or a Google Meets in order to get your students, you know, connected. And so, you know, the beauty of it is that the COVID-19 website is not only nationwide now, but looking at the analytics, it is international, you know, wow. And it is far reaching beyond our expectations, you know, but the beauty of California school counselors coming together with other state school counselors in collaboration to create such a beautiful product is something that we've been celebrating since its launch.
Yeah, and I agree, and I love it because you just go to one website and it's all there. It's difficult when people send all these links and you're trying to keep track, and I just go to the CASC website and boom, there it is. And from what I understand, you don't have to be a member to access that, right? You could just go to the website.
Correct. Anybody can access that. And right now, all of the webinars and everything that we've been doing is open to everybody. So we really just are here to support. We want to make sure that people have tools and they have a system that they feel like they can utilize without any extra pressure or burden on them.
And why do you think people should be members of CASC? Or at least why should school counselors be members?
Well, you know, it goes back to everything that you get. You know, you get the latest practices in, you know, a variety of forms. We've got professional developments. We have the CASC connection. We have the regional newsletters. You know, we have the conferences and the tight knit family that we have. And they truly are a family of school counselors across the state, really provide that collaborative support, I believe, to give you perspective of people from different regions of California, different socioeconomic backgrounds of California, so that you have a real nice perspective when approaching anything that you might be dealing with at your own site.
What would you say to someone who's debating between CASC and WACAC, because WACAC's currently free? What would you say to a school counselor?
Well, I would say definitely take advantage of WACAC because it's free, you know, and WACAC is a great resource. And their focus is, of course, on freshmen and transfer students to help them transition into higher education. And yes, CASC does cost a little bit. But again, remember that CASC is a nonprofit organization. All of the membership dues that are collected are funneled back into everything that we do on behalf of school counselors, like advocating for the profession. You know, we have a comprehensive approach through CASC, you know, where WACAC, their focus, and they do a great job. Like I said, a phenomenal organization. I love all the college fairs and I love what they put out as far as webinars go, but their primary focus is post-secondary. With CASC, you also get the academic domain, and you're going to get your social emotional domain, and you're going to get certificate courses in those areas. You're going to get professional development and best practices and literature in those areas, because really we operate in three domains, not one domain. So for me, that's the selling point alone, you know, because you don't want to go to a doctor's office and find out your doctor isn't part of any professional organizations and keeping up on their best practices. So wouldn't it make sense that, you know, your school counselor should be part of their professional organizations and keeping up with their best practices? Because ultimately, it's about the students and, you know, our ability to service the students as best we can. So I feel it's an obligation of us as professionals, you know, to be part of our organization.
I totally agree. Yeah, and I just wanted to add to that too. I think, you know, with the field of school counseling and the importance of creating that professional identity and creating legitimacy within our profession, I think when we work hard to make sure that we are constantly keeping up on the new changes and things that are happening within our profession, it does help that credibility of our profession, not just us as individuals, but our profession as well. You look at like a realtor, right? All realtors are part of their association. So it's not even really an option. And so I definitely agree with Josh and you, Priscilla, that, you know, this is something that should be part of every school counselor's, you know, repertoire, that they are participating in ongoing professional development. And ASCA is also a great organization. Of course, that's our national organization. And I think it's just as important to be a part of their organization. But in California, we have unique things that are happening within our state that are specific to us. And so that's where CAS comes in and where we can really support school counselors in the realm of what's going on in our own state as well.
Yeah, and you guys do a lot of advocacy too for school counselors in California.
Yeah, yes. Let's run down the list a little bit. You know, just in the last month, let me just give you an idea of what we've done. We've launched the COVID website, you know, which has been a phenomenal resource that we've already talked about. This weekend, Student Mental Health Week, the first one ever in California, thanks to our partnerships with the ACLU and public advocates and the support of Assemblymember Lowe and the California State Legislature. We finally have a week now in California that is student focused around mental health. And that, again, was a huge undertaking by CASC, in order to, you know, make sure that we're servicing students. In the past month, we had a needs assessment to determine our school counselors' needs in response to everything that's been going on. And looking at the data, we had over 1,000 respondents to that. You know, we had a student essay contest led by the ACLU, and we were able to take that and share it with reporters out there. You know, one reporter said, based on the responses from the students, you know, that right now the trauma and the mental anguish that our students are going through, you know, is extremely alarming, which then conversations with, when we get back into the schools, how essential is the school counselor going to be in helping everybody return to normal? That is going to be our primary focus as we get back. As we've said, we've had incredible webinars, you know, and hopefully people have taken advantage of those in the past week and couple of weeks. You know, we have that new partnership with the public advocates, and we're blessed because they are actively supporting the hiring of new school counselors. You know, I mean, that's just what comes to mind. Ashley, do you have anything that comes to mind on your end?
That was a pretty great exhaustive list. the only other things I can think of are just, you know, the partnerships that we're constantly creating. So I know right now we're working on partnering a little bit more with the California Association of School Psychologists as well, especially in our conversations about mental health and how we as school counselors and school psychologists and student support providers, how we can work together to ensure that students' needs are being met during this time, but also that they will be met when we do return to schools. And we expect to have some unique responses and possible traumas that students have encountered during this really difficult and challenging time. So that's another partnership. And then one other partnership that's really been wonderful is our executive director, Dr. Loretta Whitson, is part of a partnership called COLESC. And that essentially is the different county offices that come together and they talk about what they're doing to support students, what's working, what's not working. And so it's really a great way for us to, again, work collaboratively and making sure that all of the work that we are doing is doing what's best for students and supporting them. And so that's another really wonderful organization that is working together for students.
Wow, that's a long list. You guys must be exhausted.
And that's not everything, you know, because I mean, already off the top of my head, I know, you know, like the CARES stimulus, You know, we're working on that in partnership with the ACLU. And like I said, what great advocates and friends we have there, you know, because that is a package that would provide stimulus funding to fund additional PPS professionals out there, you know. And so the more bodies we have on the ground, the more intense our services can be. And absolutely, that is what we are going to need as we return to our new normal.
Now, can you tell everyone how to become a member if they're not sure what the website is?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is schoolcounselor-ca.org. And if you go there and then just click on membership, you can sign up for a membership. The regular dues for practicing professional school counselors are $85 for the year. Retired school counselors, it's $50. And for our graduate students, we have a special price of $45 for them to become members. And then I also just wanted to add in that we are going to be having a lot more volunteer opportunities for CASC, because we get emails all the time from school counselors around California saying, you know, I'm passionate about advancing the profession. I really want to learn more about the policy and legislative aspect. And sometimes it's hard to know how to utilize all of these people who want to help. And so I just wanted to give a couple of details about how people can get involved if they want to become more involved in CASC. The first is that we are accepting applications right now for emerging leaders. And the deadline for that is May 15th. So that's coming up next week. So
is that for current school counselors, or who's that for?
Great question. So that is actually for graduate students or current school counselors. And it's for people who are interested in becoming more involved in a state association, kind of taking their skills that they have as a school counselor or graduate student and learning how to implement those more on a state level, on a leadership level. It allows those people who are selected to attend board meetings. They help with conference planning and committee work, and they just get a feel for the wide breadth of everything that CASC is doing on different levels. So it's kind of a good way to get your foot in the door if you're interested in becoming a board member and you're like, I'm not sure if it's for me or, you know, whatnot. So I would definitely encourage people to look on our website for that information. It also comes out in our CASC newsletter that goes out weekly. And, you know, a lot of the people who have been emerging leaders in the past are now current board members. And so it's really cool because they get that experience and then they're able to utilize that to move into a board position.
Okay, that's awesome. I remember when I first became a board member, Dean Lasico, he was my mentor, and Vanessa Gomez-Lee, she was the president. And I remember talking with them and I said, okay, well, what do you need me to do as the Southern California representative? And Vanessa said, everything I tell you.
Yes.
I was like, yes, okay, Vanessa, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. And I did whatever I needed to do, but she was a lot of fun to work with, and I loved working with Dean. He was a great mentor.
Yes, we all love them. And yeah, you know, sometimes you just have to jump in full force and get that experience. And, you know, it's also being on the board is an amazing networking opportunity to meet school counselor leaders from around the country, and to really understand how our collaboration together can cause so much change for our students and so much support for them. So I always am encouraging people to look into becoming a board member. We just had our election, so we will be having about, I think, 6 new board members coming on board with us starting in July. And so that's really, really exciting to be able to have some new minds, new perspective, and yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is there anything else you guys have? Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I wanted to chime in there because thank you to all of the members out there, because what we've done is we've changed the bylaws of CASC, actually. So the new board members that are coming in, in the past, we all had specific roles and titles. And now with the new framework, we are going to be operating under policy governance. And we saw the need to do so because the organization has grown so rapidly. You know, the membership has grown so rapidly. The talent out there, you know, under the direction of the Ask a National model and people understanding the roles and identities and really people identifying where they can contribute has facilitated this change because we have so much talent across California that instead of a small board trying to run this entire organization, by transitioning to policy governance, we now will have board directors without title who will help drive the mission, the vision, and the policies of the organization. And we're going to move all of that committee work that would have been done by the board under the executive director so that the executive director can now develop, and this is going to take us a year or two, but truly develop a series of committees where people can now participate. And we're going to be able to include more school counselors across California than ever before in CASC in helping us achieve our mission of making sure that we are advanced and we push the identity of the school counselor and the impact and effectiveness so that we better serve the needs of students and support each other moving forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. And is there anything else you guys would like our listeners to know?
I just wanted to take a moment just to thank all of our California school counselors because I know this is a really difficult time for people. And, you know, being a school counselor is always a challenging job, but I think right now it's more challenging than ever because not only are we, you know, dealing with some of our own personal obstacles and challenges, but a lot of us are, you know, worried about our students and we don't have the same access to them that we would have if we were in the schools. And so I just want to thank everybody for, you know, dedicating your time and persevering through this time and being flexible. So, you know, I think just keep taking care of yourself, though. That's like the one thing that I really want school counselors to remember. There was a quote that I saw that I really liked that was it by Cecilia Tran, and it said, "Self-care means giving yourself permission to pause." And for me, that really resonated because I think as school counselors, we always want to help others and we always want to be the first in line to make a difference. But, you know, we have to also take care of ourselves. And there are a lot of wonderful resources on that website that we shared with you earlier about how you can take care of yourselves and how you can give yourself permission to pause so that you can be there and you can be strong for your students during this very difficult time. So thank you all for everything you do for students each and every day. And I'm just so honored to be a part of such an incredible career and profession.
Well, definitely, if you guys can be members of ASCA and CASC and WACAC, I would encourage you guys to join their professional organizations. And at the end of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. So can you guys tell me at least one thing that's made you happy this week?
All right. The first thing that comes to mind is just the amount of participation that we've had in our webinars for this week. Again, it was California Student Mental Health Week, and we had over 500, 600, 700 school counselors around the nation, but mostly from California on each one of our webinars. We had 5 webinars this week, and I encourage you, if you didn't get to attend them, they are on our website. But just seeing the participation and seeing the passion from all these school counselors was just, you know, it just made me, my heart so happy.
Yeah, and I would say all of the social media that's out there now, you know, and I'm glad to see, and thank you to all of our social media chairs and our tech chair in CASC, you know, who really have provided a voice to school counselors across California. And, you know, promote all of the great things that are going on. I love looking at Instagram and seeing the My CASC stories, you know, and what school counselors are doing to promote things like, you know, the Student Mental Health Week, or looking at our California SCOI, Sarah Slemons. She's got a live story that goes on every day that is great to watch, in addition to the MyCast one, you know, that promotes the life of the SCOI. There's a reason that she's our California School Counselor of the Year. Mm-hmm. And if you watch, you see so many great ideas and so much enthusiasm. You know, she's like soup for the soul for the California School Counselor. So just seeing all the great work that everybody is doing out there, and the true impact, you know, that we have across the state is phenomenal. And to me, that's my sunshine of the week.
Yeah, I have to agree. And then seeing everybody celebrating their seniors or eighth grade promotions in little ways, like with signs or virtual celebrations, that's been a lot of fun to see across the news and social media, what's going on in California, and just sharing ideas and celebrating our kids the best way we can at this point.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Priscilla, for having us. It's been really wonderful to speak with you. And thanks to all the listeners.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you, Priscilla, you know, on behalf of CASC, because you are furthering our profession with all that you do with Reach Higher, with, you know, all the podcasts, you know, so you are a major contributor, and we appreciate you immensely for all of your tireless efforts.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you both being on the podcast today. And don't forget to join CASC if you guys aren't members already, or renew your membership. You guys could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks so much.
Hi, everyone. I'm with an amazing lady from the American School Counselor Association. I will let her introduce herself.
Hi, my name's Jill Cook, and I am an assistant director at ASCA.
Hi, Jill Cook. Can you please tell us how you got involved with ASCA and a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So my career in education started in North Carolina. I was a music teacher for a couple of years. I taught elementary school music and then high school music. And I loved it, loved my students, but it didn't allow me the opportunity to connect, especially when I had 1,000 kids a week. And so I went back to school and got a master's degree in school counseling. And that at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Go Tar Heels. And that led me to a middle school in North Carolina. So I was a middle school counselor for 7 years at Reidsville Middle School, and then went into administration and was an assistant principal for 2 years. And then my husband's job took us from North Carolina to Northern Virginia. He was also in education at the time. And we moved to the Alexandria, Virginia area. And just truly, I was looking for a position. And on a chance meeting, I learned that the American School Counselor Association was looking for somebody who had been a school counselor to come on staff. And I met Richard Wong, and 18 and a half years later, I am still at ASCA.
Wow, that's amazing. You have a great experience, and I'm a huge Michael Jordan fan, so go Tar Heels. Have you been watching The Last Dance and staying up with that?
I'm saving it. It is going to be one of my indulgences here very soon. Can't wait to watch it.
It's pretty good. You're going to like it. Can you talk about some of the things you and ASCA have done that our listeners might not know about as far as like advocacy and professional development?
Sure. So, you know, when I started at ASCA, we had about 9,000 members, and we are almost at 37,000 members today. So I really see that everything we've been about as an association is really to help school counselors do their work with students. And I think that growth in membership is just a testament to that. And so the three projects really in particular that I've been involved in from the get-go, one is the RAMP program, Recognized ASCA Model Program. I was involved in the creation, the development, and all these years later, I still coordinate that program. The other thing I had the opportunity to do was help create the National School Counselor of the Year program. Our recognition program looked very different when I started at ASCA, and we wanted to model what we did after the Teacher of the Year program and the Principal of the Year program. And we met with them and worked to get to that point where we are today. And as I hope many people know, you know, we've had the opportunity to be recognized as a profession at the White House. Hope someday we're back there again as we celebrate the school counselors of the year from across the country. And really the third bucket, the thing I'm been very involved in is our collaborations with other national organizations. Over these 18 and a half, 20 years, we really are in a place where ASCA and school counselors are seen as integral to conversations nationally about what's good for students. We're in a coalition with all the major education associations. We've done joint projects with the Secondary School Principals Association, with superintendents. We're working with 30 other organizations right now on a reentry document about what school may look like in the fall and what the social emotional needs of students and school staff, quite frankly, may be. So really being part of those conversations has been part of the evolution as well.
Yeah, that's great that you guys are doing that. There's a lot of unknowns. So I appreciate all the work you guys are doing to help school counselors.
Absolutely.
Why would you recommend school counselors join the American School Counselor Association?
Because we are the association, the only national association specifically for K-12 school counselors. I would like to think we have the professional development and the online resources and the connections that only you can get through us. I love school counselors so much, and I feel so privileged to get to work every day on behalf of school counselors. And honestly, since March, hearing the work that school counselors are doing in this difficult situation and trying time, and the amazing things they've done, and knowing that ASCA, through some of the resources we've created, that's supporting that work, that's, for me, that makes what I do every day just so powerful and so humbling. I can talk about the benefits of membership. We have a magazine, we have a peer-reviewed journal, you get liability insurance that's automatic with ASCA membership, and all of those things, all of those resources and online opportunities are so important. But it's really, for me, it helps. It's a school counselor community. ASCA provides a place on a national level for school counselors to coalesce, whether it's on social media, on our website, at our conference. And for me, that's just so powerful.
That's true. And I appreciate the work, because I know as a school counselor, being a member of my professional organizations has been a great asset to help me learn from other school counselors and people such as yourself. And I have taken advantage of all the webinars, and I've read your newsletters and stuff that you guys send out. And I know, sometimes we hear as school counselors, people debate between joining their state organization or their national organization. I personally am a member of both, but what would you say to someone who's debating between joining one over the other?
To join one, I mean, our hope would be that you are involved in a professional association in some way. And we do understand that sometimes it may be cost prohibitive to do your state association and the national association. We absolutely get that. But to get connected some way, because, we have associations in 50 states and in Guam, and the whole purpose of the state associations is to know the specific needs of the state. There are absolutely global issues we know that are across the country, but in terms of specific state legislation and specific state needs, absolutely the state associations are going to have the handle on the pulse of what that looks like. And so our answer is, you do what works for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if a student or a grad student or a current school counselor or educator would like to join ASCA, how would they go about doing that?
So we do have a student membership, and we have a large number of graduate students, pretty large number, who join ASCA. And we do know, we're not naive to the fact that often the reason for that is because of the liability insurance that they get automatic with joining ASCA. It's not an additional expense, and many graduate students need that to be able to do their internships or practicums in schools, that liability insurance is a requirement. And for professors, we have school counselor educators as members as well. And given that we have the online development, we offer AskU specialist training. So that's a self-paced curricula that individuals can take advantage of online. And I know some universities have their students, that's part of their class requirement, is to participate in those specialist trainings and complete that. I would like to think ASCA is on the cutting edge of what the profession is about through the national model, through the student mindsets and behaviors, through the brand new school counselor competencies, through our ethical standards. And we're just embarking on ASCA will be a specialized, it's called a SPA. So we're working through CAPE, where we can school counselor graduate programs can be accredited through CAPE and ASCA SPA. And through that, we know that students will get all of those things that are founded and based in the national model through their graduate program. So when they come out of that, we know they'll be able to hit the ground running. We hear all the time from school counselors who are new to the field, and they're like, oh my gosh, because I knew the model and because I had had experience in using data and goal setting, they were able to just hit the ground running and join their school staff. And principals are now looking for that. They want students who have that background and have that knowledge. They want to hire them as school counselors. So, I'd like to think there's something for everybody, whether a professional, a new professional, a graduate student, or a counselor educator.
Yeah, I currently, I'm also an adjunct instructor at the University of Laverne, and our program encourages students to be members of ASCA and CASC. And it's a great resource, and our students are very appreciative of it, and they take advantage of all the opportunities that are given to them. Mm-hmm. So I hope that a lot of universities are doing that. From what I understand, they are. So I'm glad that they're doing that, because I know when I was in college, it was kind of like we were given the option, you could do state or national. Mm-hmm. Of course, I picked ASCA because as a grad student, you don't have that much money.
Right.
ASCA was a great help as I was going through the program. Are there any volunteer opportunities that you guys can talk about as far as that people can do now online or maybe throughout their state or nationally?
So I can't speak to what the state associations might offer as opportunities for volunteering. At the national level, a couple of ways. One, we are run by a governing board. There are 9 members of our governing board that oversee the governance of the association. And there are a couple of committees they have where they often ask for volunteers, ask for folks to be part of those committees, the nominations and elections, bylaws, delegate assembly. And then we also have on the staff side of ASCA, we have an ethics committee. Part of my lovely, lovely experience that I've gotten to have over my 18 and a half years at ASCA is working with Carolyn Stone on ethics. I'm the primary first hit for ethics inquiries that we get. And so I am often turning to Carolyn. She is so wonderful. She's so amazing. And we have Wendy Rock on board now, but we do have a committee that's been a lot of fun to work with. We have a position statement committee. Right now, Sean Boltzma and Donette Segrand are overseeing that, and they have a committee. And our position statements, I must say, we have so many foundational documents, but our position statements are utilized all the time by us on staff and by others and by administrators. We use them when we have Hill visits sometimes. So they revise them. We create new ones. We're getting ready. We just had a public comment period for our position statements for this year. But that committee does amazing work. And then some individuals I work with, it's 160 of them who are involved in the RAMP process. So we have, a whole slew of reviewers, and we have lead RAMP reviewers and RAMP team captains. And this year that was 160 people who were involved in the review process for our 123 RAMP applications. So there are expertise.
And do they just go online and volunteer, or is there like an application process?
Do you know, I off the top of my head, I don't know the answer to that, but I can find that out. But at the very least, we are a small staff. You can go online and find our contact us, and there are 11 of us, and you send any one of us an email and we would direct anybody who's interested to the right person.
Okay, that's awesome. And I just got to know Wendy Rock through this whole COVID thing. I know she's amazing. Like I see her probably once a week on a Zoom meeting, and been nice to know her. She's an amazing lady.
She is, and we've just she is the co-chair of the ethics committee now, and her insight and thoroughness is just fantastic. I'm happy to have her in a leadership position as we navigate some of this. You know, navigating the ethics of virtual school counseling has been new and interesting.
Yeah, and how do you think COVID has changed the role of a school counselor, and how has it changed you?
Ooh, that last one's an interesting one. Well, I think this whole thing we're dealing with has really shown to me the importance of school counselors. You know, even though there might be school counselors not able to connect with students regularly or every day, and we know some not at all. But the fact is, we know I think good school counselors are the heartbeat of a school, or the center of a school, and they are there working with students and families, providing resources, making sure students are safe and have food, connecting with staff to make sure they're hanging in there and doing okay, jumping in on classroom instruction to support teachers, to infuse social and emotional learning or those student mindsets and behaviors as appropriate. I just see them more important now than ever. And as we think about what education may look like, or may look like just for the 2021 school year, you know, what we keep hearing nationally over and over and over is that while the academics are important, absolutely, but that learning cannot go on unless we address the mental wellness and social and emotional needs of everyone, students, staff, families, community. And we know who does that? School counselors. So for me, it's just emphasized the need for school counselors and the fact that we look at the whole child, the academics, the career, and the social, emotional. That is exactly where we are now. It's not siloed work. We know that. Right. We're more important now than ever. And I think that's what's been beautiful for me to observe and hear from school counselors. And yes, people are tired and zoomed out and frustrated and worried that they're not doing enough. But the fact is, you know, understand that we are all doing the best we can, and to celebrate those small successes. And, you know, I think we've probably all learned more about technology than we thought we may have ever had the opportunity to do. I sure have. And the fact that the beauty of the human spirit, in that we find ways to stay connected, whether through, you know, virtual happy hours or Zoom yoga or mindfulness minutes or whatever that means for you as an individual, or you as a school counselor, as part of a school staff, or in your work with students, that we're all finding ways to do the work and do it in new ways.
I think for me, it's really shown me how essential all of the educators are at our site. I work at a school where we have over 90% low income. Mm. So it's been really difficult because a lot of our students have gone dark, meaning like their phone's been disconnected, or parents lost jobs, yep, or they live in an old home. And yeah, we can give them the free internet, but then you have to pay to get it installed because the home is so old, so then they can't get the internet. And a lot of students just, we haven't heard from. So we try our best with the ones we can reach. And then it's just been a collaborative effort with the teachers, the admin, and everyone on campus. And and it's really shown how important school counselors are too, to help bridge the gap with those students and those families. And like you said, give them resources and not just college career, but social, emotional, and academics.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know?
No, just that I appreciate the opportunity to come on and share about ASCA a little bit, and just how impressed I am with your school district and all that you do to support school counselors in particular, but as you just said, all the educators, all the students, I think you're doing some amazing work, and that is to be celebrated.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. And at the end of our podcast, we like to do the Sunshine Spotlight. So can you tell me at least one thing that's made you happy this week?
Oh, I am not sure if it was this week, but I just was commenting. I had just done a Twitter comment that where I said, this makes my heart happy. So as I said, one of my roles is to work on the School Counselor of the Year program. And every year we have our state school counselors of the year. We have our finalists, we have our winner. And so the group of finalists, there were six of them last year in 2019, when Brian Coleman was the school counselor of the year. And they have a little Zoom meeting, the six of them, and they posted about, they took a picture and posted it on Twitter and I think on Instagram, and just how it was so good for them to connect. And so to see this thing that I participate in on an administrative end, to see that it creates connections that will continue, that made my heart happy.
Oh, that's awesome. I guess mine, of course, would be the news we just recently got. We were recognized by Michelle Obama and MTV and When We All Vote for our voter registration efforts at our site. And I'm incredibly grateful and proud of our team and our students and our community. So huge shout out to all of them. And I would also like to thank you for being on our podcast. If you could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Goodbye.
All right. Hi, everyone. I'm with WACAC. I'll let our special guest introduce himself.
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Phil Moreno. I'm the full-time job is Director of West Coast Recruitment for Dickinson College, regionally based in Long Beach, California. And then more specifically, I am the President-elect of the Western Association for College Admissions Counseling. Happy to be here.
Awesome. And for those people that don't know what WACAC stands for, can you tell them?
Absolutely. So WACAC is one of more than 20 regional affiliates of the National Association for College Admissions Counseling, and in particular, the Western Association for College Admissions Counseling, WACAC, not AFLAC, covers both the states of California and Nevada.
Can you talk about some of the things WACAC does as far as like professional development and any other great resources?
Absolutely. You know, it's one of those things is, you know, if you're in the know, then you know that for more than 50 years, WACAC has been on the front lines serving students. And in particular, our membership is comprised of every kind of constituency that touches the post-secondary college path. So high school counselors, college counselors from both public and private institutions in both states, the players that are a part of the conversation when it comes to community colleges, independent educational consultants, even more recently into the rise of community-based organizations. All of them end up being members of our organization and come together for networking, to share resources, all in the aim of ensuring that students who are going beyond high school have the best possible counseling to achieve the goals they desire.
Oh, that's awesome. And I appreciate all that you guys do. And I noticed currently WACAC is free for school counselors. I believe it's been free since the summer, correct?
Absolutely. One of our long-term goals has always been to be a resource for public high school counselors, in particular being in both California and Nevada. You know, we've actually, quite frankly, struggled for many years to increase our public high school counselor membership. But this past summer, the board recommended to the membership that they offer public high school counselors membership for free. And that actually has led to a huge transformation for our organization. So now we have actually more than 1,200 of our 3,000 members that are public high school counselors. So we're definitely considering that a success.
Wow, congratulations. So for those school counselors who haven't joined yet, why would you recommend that they join WACAC?
Absolutely. We know that, you know, time is valuable, and we know that, you know, the last thing maybe another high school counselor needs is a membership that is just filling up their inbox. And so for us, I think our value is the opportunity to be able to network again with all of those folks that are touching the admissions college-wise, community college-wise, even post-secondary vocational opportunities. You know, for a counselor who is on the front lines working with students, we believe that no other organization allows all of those groups to come together. And so that's why we believe the value of our membership is to be able to network with those, coordinate best practices, compile resources. Those are some of the things that we hope that those who have joined WACAC appreciate from our membership.
Now, if school counselors are debating between WACAC and CASC, what would you say to a school counselor who is saying they're just going to join WACAC because it's free?
Absolutely. And, you know, my career in college admissions, I grew up actually in San Bernardino in the Inland Empire back when we were 714, you know, now the area code is split. But, you know, my experience working on the front lines in the Inland Empire and Riverside, working at high schools, working with college counselors, working with high school counselors who are doing lots of different things. You know, sometimes the question is, if I had to choose one, you know, why would I choose someone where I have to pay for it, or what is the value in that? And, you know, I think most counselors know that there are more than a number of resources that are out there. And, you know, for me to have both CASC and WACAC as part of my resume and part of my arsenal for students, I think is valuable. Just, you know, looking at the offerings that CASC has put together in terms of COVID-19, you know, those would be some of the things that I really appreciate as a member of both organizations, to be able to offer, you know, those things that are both tailored to my experience on a campus, but then also maybe looking at the WACAC opportunities that are bringing not only the folks that are on, you know, the high school side, but also those who are from the college admissions world.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big advocate to be members of both. So how would a school counselor join WACAC? What would they do?
We're one of those things where our membership actually starts July 1. And so, in fact, you'll have a little bit of a head start in the sense that our membership will go live again on July 1. You simply go to wacac.org. You click on the membership link, and you'll be able to kind of identify yourself as a public high school counselor, fill out some general information, and then you're automatically a member. And then you'll start getting the e-blasts that are going out every 2 weeks that provides a wrap-up of different content and resources for you as the year goes forward. You know, right now, a lot of that content has been pushed out in regards to the resources related to the ongoing pandemic. But it's also that link to the National Association where they put together some tools to kind of compile those schools that have extended their deadlines, compiling information about how those colleges and universities will react to grades or no grades in this particular term. So all of that is being pushed out once you're a member.
And do you know when July 1st comes, if it's going to continue to be free membership?
Absolutely. The board and the membership are very excited that, you know, this has been such a powerful and successful increase in members. And, you know, in particular, we want to continue this. In fact, the conversation has been, how can we bring more voices to the table? Perhaps the next group that could be considered are community-based organizations. You know, we're talking about lots of ways to increase membership because, you know, as you know, Priscilla, this is definitely a profession where we learn from each other, right? And the more folks that you can have at that table, and certainly the knowledge and the opportunity to be more effective for our students present themselves when more people and the right people are at that table to have those discussions.
Yeah, and I love that you guys do the recognitions, like the honor of mentor. I recognized a few of my mentors.
Oh,
and
nice.
I also saw that you gave a few shout outs to some Riverside educators. So I like that email blast that you guys sent out recently. So thank you guys.
Definitely. You know, we're trying to pull resources from all across the state and very happy that Riverside is always a great partner in those conversations.
Yeah. So thank you for all that you do, guys.
You're welcome.
What about volunteer opportunities? Are there any volunteer opportunities people can do?
Absolutely. If you know, members have the energy and the enthusiasm to be able to step up, there are a number of different opportunities. As with most organizations, sometimes they present themselves in some of our professional development opportunities. So you'll see at WACAC.org opportunities in regards to our Share, Learn, Connects. These are like mini conferences that take place throughout the state and Nevada, where we're actually having an opportunity to bring a smaller group of counselors, you know, usually no more than about, I would say 75 they average, and small little intense day-long activities regarding everything from, test optional opportunities to best practices in curriculum to even counseling models. And so the sessions for those are driven by volunteers. And in addition, the annual conference in a normal year would be a great opportunity for folks to volunteer. And then you'll also see that there is an election. So we're actually coming down to the wire here. I believe May 18th is the end of our annual elections, and a part to be a member of the executive board, as well as representation at the national level. And the great thing about those opportunities is that WACAC will cover the fees for conferences that will take place in the state and also nationally. And, you know, now that we have the overwhelming membership coming from public high school counselors, we're definitely looking to increase the representation on multiple boards, volunteering on our committees. And so definitely once those memberships get confirmed in July, check out the eBlast, because that's when the call for volunteers comes about.
Okay, awesome. So we'll be looking out for that. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know?
I think what they should know is that, you know, it's no counselor can live on an island. Although, you know, I was struck by, we do this wonderful program called District Directions, which is where we adopt a school district and we provide to them one particular high school and district the opportunity to understand different ways to do college counseling. And when we adopt a school district, we're actually partnering with the district officials, the high schools in particular, and using data from the College Board and other resources to identify certain goals. And what has always struck me in participating in that program is the counselor's enthusiasm to help students. And then once they've been given the template to help, how they just thrive. And so I think I would want, you know, members to know, or those considering membership, that those opportunities are not hidden, that they're available in an organization like WACAC. And all it takes is for them to sign up. And when those opportunities present themselves, to say yes to a webinar, say yes to coming to one of our Share, Learn, Connects, and really just saying yes to being a part of the conversation.
Okay, well, that's good to know. We like to do a sunshine spotlight at the end of our podcast. So can you say at least one thing that made you happy this week?
Yes, actually, it's to come. Being a Inland Empire native, actually living here in Long Beach, it's a little lonely with this ongoing pandemic. So tomorrow I'm off to Corona to pick up my nephew. And just so you know, my nephew is a year and a half year old Shih Tzu puppy. And so he'll be spending the week with me in anticipation of seeing my mother for Mother's Day. So that's bringing great joy.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, my sunshine spotlight was definitely getting to talk with you and sharing all the great things you guys are doing at WACAC. And also congratulations to Lauren. She did a great presidency. So huge shout out to her and welcome to you.
I appreciate that so much. The work continues, and the opportunity to be a part of this is, I know, it's, you know, incredibly important. And so thank you again. And, you know, my best to everyone and also to you.
All righty, Philip. You could just say goodbye to everyone out there listening.
Bye-bye, everyone.
All right.
Want something to change, or you want to see something different in the future, then you have to, like, take initiative and take action on that. I'm Deja Somerville. I'm 18 and I'm from Riverside, California. I decided to get involved with When We All Vote. It made me realize the importance of having a voice, especially like having a voice and speaking up for those who don't have one. Kind of just like speaking up for the underdog is what really motivated me to like push for this, because a lot of people are eligible to vote and want to vote, but they don't have the resources to. Knowing that like I can help these communities and I can make change and that I can do things like this, like that's exciting. This is good news. This is our future and this is our world, and we have to take charge of it. If you want to see change, you have to take action and vote on the things that you care about.
With all that is going on in the world, let's remember how important it is to vote, not just for president, but locally. I encourage you to get your voting squad. Encourage your community, family, and friends to vote if they are eligible in November. The California governor approved a mail-in election. School counselors, teachers, administrators, all school staff, students, and parents play an important role in helping our school communities make their voices heard in every election. We can lead important efforts to guide our students and communities in registering to vote. I would highly encourage you to check out the When We All Vote, My School Votes program and register your school by going to their website. Thank you for tuning in to Reach Higher Riverside. You can follow us on Twitter at RH Riverside. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel at Reach Higher Riverside. You can also subscribe to our iTunes or Google Play Music and give us a rating. Thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate all of you tuning in. And as Michelle Obama would say, when they go low, we reach higher.